Will you open your Bibles today, please, to the book of Joshua? We have already discussed the author of the book of Joshua and said that we believe Joshua is the author. In this and in the days to come, we will be looking at the analysis of the book and then finally, in due time, at the analogies which are usually made in relation to the book itself. After having presented the claims of Joshua's authorship, we noticed with you the kind of person Joshua was by noticing three things about his character. He was a warrior, for he did fight battles. He was a waiter, in the sense that he was the minister of Moses, and he wholly followed the Lord. He was completely dedicated. We believe that this is important for you to keep in mind if you are to understand the book which we are studying, because to know the man who wrote the book is as important as knowing the material which is in the book. And that is where we want to take up our thinking today, suggesting to you what, for want of a better way of expressing it, we are going to refer to as the analysis of the book of Joshua. We're going to talk to you today about the analysis of the book of Joshua, first of all, in relation to its position in the Bible, because we believe that the Bible, in the original form, was inspired of God verbally. Now listen carefully to what I'm going to say, lest you might anticipate me and jump to the wrong conclusion. Though we do not believe that the order of the books, the way you find them in our King James text, is inspired, we do believe that the order was divinely directed, because there is a unity of truth presented that could not happen by chance. We believe the book of Joshua is exactly where it is in our King James text because of what it represents. We believe, for example, that it comes after the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, and before the 12 historical books, because it represents the climax to the one and the introduction to the other. And we could emphasize, even more definitely perhaps, by reminding you that the Pentateuch led up to the Promised Land, and the books of history describe the settling of the Promised Land. And, of course, the book of Joshua describes the entry into the Promised Land. You can see the reason now, perhaps, why God, in his wisdom, put it where he did. Another comparison that might be helpful to you is this. The book of Joshua is to the Old Testament what the book of Acts is to the New Testament. For example, the four Gospels represent all of the preparation for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am thinking now of the body of Christ. The Acts of the Apostles form the link between the Gospels and the Epistles, so that you can understand the Epistles on the basis of what is found in the Acts, and you can understand the Gospels on the basis of what is found in the Epistles, as the Gospel itself has been channeled through the Acts of the Apostles. The place that this book has in the Old Testament can be illustrated by the links of the chain. The first link represents the Pentateuch. The last link in the chain represents the historical books, and the middle link stands for the book of Joshua. In this way, the book of Joshua connects the Pentateuch with the books of history. We further emphasize that there is an interesting thought numerically by reminding you that in the Pentateuch there are five books. The book of Joshua represents one, and then there are 12 books in the historical section of the Bible, making a total of 18 books. As far as subject matter is concerned, there is the matter of searching out the land in the first five books of the Bible, in the book of Joshua, the story of securing the land, in the book of history, the story of settling the land. And again, we make a similar comparison between the Gospels, the Acts, and the Epistles. Now, the value of understanding the division of the books in this fashion will appear to you when you read these various portions of God's Word. You will find always that the message of the book coincides with its position in the Bible. You will find that the doctrine which is taught in the book will coincide with its relationship to other books, so that there will be no contradiction. apparent contradictions may arise in the study of your Bible, and particularly when you fail to rightly divide it. Now, of course, there is an importance of division related to truth when we use the term rightly dividing God's Word. But we need to keep in mind, as I mentioned to you, under the divine direction of God, there is a need for rightly dividing the books of the Bible according to their placement in the Bible. Any analysis of any book should take into consideration its position in the canon of Scripture. As we further emphasize the analysis of this book, I would like to suggest that we notice an analysis in relation to the parts of the book into which it is divided. Now, I have said to you repeatedly that every portion of God's Word has an outline, divisions in it, which are placed there by the Holy Spirit. Men make outlines of various books in the Bible. I have, others have. But the outline which the Holy Spirit makes is always the best one. Now, the outline which the Holy Spirit makes may be a rather broad outline. It may consist simply of main divisions, then many subdivisions with numbers 1, 2, and 3, and then A, B, and C under that, and 1, 2, and 3, and then small A, B, and C's under that. But the broad outline of the Scripture is always evident. I believe that it is true of the book of Joshua, as well as it is of other portions of the Word of God. So, we would suggest to you that the book of Joshua might be divided into three parts. The first part we have entitled, Opening the Land, and it is discussed in chapters 1 through 5 of the book of Joshua. You may wonder how we may know that. Well, let's see. Notice in your Bibles, please, the book of Joshua, chapter 1, and follow as I read these words today. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Notice, this is Joshua's commission to open the land for settlement. We have had experiences like that, have we not, in our American history, when various portions of the United States, known as territories, were open for settlement. You remember reading and seeing on your TV. Perhaps you remember seeing how people would gather around the borders of these territories and at the signal make a mad rush inland to stake out their claim and get the possible locations. Well, this is what Joshua was doing. In these first five chapters, he was opening the land. Perhaps if you're thinking, and I hope you are, you're saying, well, I still don't quite see how those first four verses of that first chapter would verify that. So, I want you to turn to chapter 5, and notice verse 1, where you read, And it came to pass, when all the kings of the Amorites, who were on the side this side of Jordan and westward, all the kings of the Canaanites, who were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel until we were passed over, that their heart melted, because neither was their spirit any more in them because of the children of Israel. This verse declares in no uncertain terms that penetration had been made. They were on the other side of Jordan. They had opened the land. Well, you might think that now all anybody needed to do was settle down. Before we get through with our study of the book of Joshua, you will find that two tribes wanted to settle down. They wanted to settle down right there close to the Jordan, but they were reminded that the land, even though it was opened, was not overcome, that the land needed to be overcome for peaceful settlement as well as it needed to be opened for any kind of settlement at all. So that brings you to the second division of the book of Joshua, which we have referred to in the words, overcoming the land. You find this described in chapters 6 through 12. And I beg to emphasize again, these are the natural divisions into which the book falls, which speaks to my heart of the outline which the Holy Spirit has presented. Notice how this is verified. Look at the first verse of chapter 6, where you read, "Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, and none came in." And you are introduced to the fall of Jericho. You remember reading there in chapter 5 how the Israelites were actually in the land, and all the kings on both sides of the river were trembling in fear because penetration had been made. The land had been opened, but from chapter 6 to chapter 12, you find a record of a 6-year war that was fought in a series of battles to overcome the enemies who yet had control of the land. We know that this was done within the compass of those chapters which we have mentioned, and is evident if you will look at chapter 12 of the book of Joshua and notice verse 1. "Now these are the kings of the land which the children of Israel smote, and possessed their land on the other side of Jordan toward the rising of the sun, from the river Arnon unto Mount Hermon and all the plain on the east." This represents a record then of all victories which were won, and that is what makes up practically all of chapter 12, which is the last chapter of this second division, a roll call of defeated kings, a list of victorious battles. We're going to have to reserve until our next broadcast the discussion, or perhaps I should say the introduction, to the third division of the book. Keep in mind that division number 1, chapters 1 through 5, the opening of the land, division number 2, chapters 6 through 12, the overcoming of the land, and the third division, the occupying of the land.